Yeah, thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise. Oh, glory to God. Shinda baskunda galeges kora tadeske ina manda vogoska koza aba over aba. Oh, go, tede. Lord, we receive your word tonight. We receive the revelation that's found in your Son Jesus. We receive, Lord, tonight that we are edified by your spirits. You, Jesus, are glorified. We give you praise and adoration in Jesus' name. We've prayed, amen. And everyone says amen. Amen. Guys, it's a good one for us to be available for tonight, to hear God's word, as always, to be blessed, to be equipped, to be edified. You know, the word edified, it means to be built up, to be built up, to be built up, like you build up a structure, you know. It goes beyond just being, you know, hearing God's word, but to actually have the effects of the power of God in the teaching of his word. You know, the teaching ministry is a gift of the Spirit, or we can call it a ministry gift. It works by the utterance gifts. You know, a believer has the utterance of God, has the utterance. You know, the Spirit of God said they spoke in tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them what utterance. So there are things called the utterance gifts. You have the speaking tongues, you have the word of prophecy. So anything you do in the name of Christ is under the utterance. In terms of vocality, is under the utterance gift. You speak, you sing, those are still utterances. Those are still on the utterance gifts. Bible says, Ephesians 5 verse 18, singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing once and making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. So Ephesians 5 verse 18 and 19, where it starts by saying, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's an utterance. You know, that's his utterance. Prayers as well is utterance. It's a gift of God to utter words. Hallelujah. Utter new tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Acts 2. You know, that's an utterance. We all utter by the Spirit. I'm uttering now. The teaching gift. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Wherefore, when I set up on high, give gifts unto men. And give some apostles, prophets, you know, pastors, evangelists, teachers. It goes like this. Give some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We said that the word pastors and teachers is separated by a word that conjoins both of them together, meaning that pastors and teachers are not separate gifts. They're actually pastoring teachers. All right? You get? You understand? So if you say apostles, prophets, okay, evangelists, pastoring teachers. So that means when the thing a pastor does is that he teaches. That's the utterance gift. It says for the equipping of for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints. Let's look at that quickly. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Can you imagine this man of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 4. Alright, Ephesians 4 verse 12 says, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the utterance gifts are to do what? Are to edify. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now you're walking in an utterance gift. I am walking in the I am uttering by the Spirit. This is the utterance of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How about that? It's the utterance of God. You know? Sometimes if you misunderstand what I just said by this is the utterance of God, and you are used to the contemporary, or should I say the conventional charismatic mode of communication, you almost think that what I mean is, oh, that what I'm saying now is not me, it's no longer I that's speaking, now it's now God speaking. No, you just change your voice. You know, God is alive to hear you. You know, you sound sanctimonious, and then you put that strings on the background. You put that there so that when your listeners are listening to you, they have conditioned them, their minds, to like, oh, God is speaking now. It's no longer I. You know, it's no longer I. You say, I'm no longer operating in the natural man. I'm now operating from another realm. Some people say, someone told me, say, I'm speaking from another realm right now. You know? You say, this one is no longer I. Now they quote Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified, or I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Yet not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. Until they realized that when he said, yet not I. Or he did not even say that anyways, because it was not in the original. It wasn't written. It was actually an added word. All right? So, yet not I was never there. There's nowhere in the scriptures that the scriptures doesn't tell us that we are not the ones alive. The scriptures rather tell us that we are alive together with Christ. Amen? Ephesians 2, verse 1. It starts by saying, obviously, we know it starts previously from chapter 1, talking about the things that are in the believer when he raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1, you know, 19, thereabouts, to the end. You know, I said he has made us to be the body of Christ. Now it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you, that is the believers, who were dead, you were dead. So that means they were the ones who were dead, and the same people are alive. It says, you who were dead in sins and trespasses, you know, hath he quickened. And now it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the lust of the flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and we are by nature children of wrath. I'm just summarizing. And now says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he has loved us, he says, he has quickened us together with Christ. So we are quickened together with Christ. Hallelujah. By grace, you are saved. And has raised us up together to be seated in the heavens. So we are alive together with Christ. We are risen together. Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek ye then those things which are above, where Christ is seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you know, don't say I'm not the one speaking, it's God. Just like some believers that believe that when you're speaking in tongues, you're not the one speaking. It's just something that happens to you. But hey, sorry to bust your bubble. That's actually an erroneous belief, because the scriptures is against that. It's not just that the scripture doesn't teach that, but the scriptures is against that, because for everything that God wants to do, he will do it through a man. And glory to God, because we are on a teaching series that has to do with you know, the spiritual and the natural, and how that God cannot do anything on earth without a man. You know, Psalm 115 verse 16. Let's look at it, because we're already into our teaching. I think I'll have to use this one tonight. Psalm 115 and verse 16. Psalm 115. I'll be a bit you know, because this one has an issue in it. Psalm 115 verse 16. This is where we stopped in our last teaching. What are we teaching tonight? We are on the series Demystifying the Myth Called Unanswered Prayers. Right? It says, the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. What does this mean? That the heavens are the Lord's. Hallelujah. All right. But the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, the word are is an added word, you know, by the translators. So let us take it out and reread this text. The heavens, because we see that word even is also added, because it's italicized if you're using the King James Version. So use the heavens. So it's like an emphasis on the heavens. All right, are you there? The heavens the Lord's, or we can say the Lord's is with the heavens, or the heavens are the Lord's. You see that there can be different interpretations. So it's either you say the Lord is with the heavens, the Lord is with the heavens, or the heavens are the Lord's. You know, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So I would rather say the heavens are with the Lord. All right? You know, or the Lord is with the heavens, or the Lord dwells in the heavens. All right, that's what I would rather translate that as, rather than just say the heavens are the Lord's. So it will look like there is this, the, you know, there's this division between heaven and earth. All right, because the Lord dwells here in heaven, and heaven is where? On earth. It says, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So that would then mean that, you know, God's power is seen through what he gave to men here on the earth. All right? It says, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. So that means men are in authority here on the earth. All right? Men are in authority here on the earth. We said that where this authority comes from originally is from Genesis 1 verse 26. All right? Where it says, let them, you know, let's make man in our image, 26 to 28. Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over everything that God has made. So God has given authority over, giving men authority over everything on earth. But you know, like we said, again, the heaven is on earth, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Let's read that again. Verse 16, the heavens, the Lord's. Now, another thing to note here is that when you see the word Lord, the possessiveness of this translation, you know how they put it as the Lord's, as a possessive noun, right? It has no bearing in the original Hebrew language. All right? It's just like in Greek texts or Greek translation of the Bible, you don't have plural and singular, right? There is nothing like, oh, sin and sins. It's all just the same word, hamartia, or as some, hamartano. All right? So some people often teach that, oh, Jesus died for sin, and then he left us with the sins so that we confess, keep confessing that one. You understand? That's just brought out of an English translation, but there is no bearing. So this word Lord, yeah, there's nothing like possession there. It has nothing to do with possession there. So just like the heavens, the Lord. So we can actually say, because of, let's read verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, and your children. All right? You are blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. So we are seeing that this person is talking about two places, the unseen and the seen. Please pay attention though. Hallelujah. It now says in verse 16, or rather verse 15, the heaven and the earth. And we said that heaven and the earth are together. So it says heaven, even the heaven, the Lord. So that means God dwells in heaven. But it now says, but the earth he has given towards the children of men. That means that blessing that was spoken of in verse 15 would be seen physically on earth. That means God's power is exerted physically, you know, tangibly on earth. All right, God is in heaven, and we said heaven is on earth from our series Heaven on Earth or New Creation, and then the earth he has given to men. So that means that everything that happens here on earth, all right, is determined by what God has given to men. That is the power determined by men. The word given, I said this last teaching, I said this last time, I said the word given is the word what? Is the word Nathan. All right, is the word Nathan. What does Nathan mean? Nathan means to be yielded to something. So the earth is yielded to man. That means the earth is in submission to man. Man that has that. Have you thought about the word yield? What it means to yield yourself to something? It means to be under the influence of that thing. Alright? So when it tells us that the earth is yielded to us, what does that mean? It means that the earth is under our influence. The earth depends on a man to influence it. That's why it was the fall of man that influenced the earth as well. It was the fall of man, for instance, that brought about earthquakes. That is why the earth is flawed. Earthquakes, hurricanes. Even the rainfall was not even from the beginning. Rainfall. Yeah, rainfall and all of that didn't come from the beginning. It was as a result of the fall of man. In God's creation, in God's original creation, rainfall wasn't part of it. God already created water under the ground so that he can water the plants. The man didn't have to water plants. Rain didn't have to fall from anywhere. Hallelujah. But that, some say the rain is a blessing from God. You will find it in Genesis. Until the rain destroys your house. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you look at how things are, it is not even God that determines it, that determines how the rain falls and the intensity with which it falls. It's not God. Hallelujah. That's why you can be able to stop the rain. Amen. Amen. So say, how can you stop rain? Yes, you can. Oh, you can stop the rain. The earth is what? Under the influence of man. As a believer, you should be able to at least stop rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if anyone here has done that before. I think I've asked that question here before. You should start practicing that. Amen. Alright, we have a lot to cover. Praise God. I'm already 30 minutes into our time. So, or 20 something minutes. It doesn't mean that man owns the earth. Now, Satan said in Luke chapter 4, when he was tempting Jesus, he told Jesus, says, if you bow down to me, I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. Right? I will give you what? The kingdoms of the earth. He didn't say I will give you the earth or the things of the earth. He told Jesus the kingdoms of the earth. He says, because it has been delivered to me. Now, what are the kingdoms of the earth? We're going to find that out in the course of this teaching. And what Satan meant by it has been delivered unto me. So remember, we have to read all of the scriptures together. Alright? Read all of the scriptures together. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. Praise God. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. Amen. Oh, this is quite slow. Are you there? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? Are you there? Hebrews 2 verse 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, this is the psalmist, David. Alright? That's Psalms chapter 8. Alright? What is man? Let's look at this. We're going to come back to Hebrews. Psalms chapter 8. Let's look at this. Psalms 8 verse 4. Psalms 8 verse 4. We are on the mystifying the myth called unanswered prayers. Alright? Psalms 8 verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou, verse 5, has made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and what? Honor. You see that? Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under where? His feet. So it tells us that this psalmist tells us that thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of his hands. So anything that is God's, the work of God's hands, what God has given that man over dominion over all of these things. Hallelujah. God has given man dominion over these things. However, in Hebrews 2, let's look at Hebrews 2, because the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2 verse 6, where we came from, it says, but one in a certain place testified, Hebrews 2 6, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him, all right, or thou madest him, in King James version, little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Now look at verse 8. It says, thou hast done what? Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection. That word subjection is the word hupatasso. I'll get back to that. I'll get back to explaining that word. Under his feet. It said he has put all things under his feet. For in that he put all under in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now, where did God give man dominion? Where was it documented that God gave man dominion? Genesis 1 verse 26. But you see, the writer of Hebrews tells us that even what David said, when he says thou has given him dominion over those things, he said we don't yet see that dominion yet. We don't see that dominion yet. All right? We don't see that dominion. But he then says, but look at it, verse 8. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But it then says, but we see Jesus, right? We see, so who is that man in Genesis that God said, let them have dominion? Jesus Christ, the image of God. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering for death, crowned with glory and honor, that by grace he should taste death for every what? Every man. So we see that that authority that God gave in Genesis 1:26 was not to every man that was made. No, it's the man that will come after the resurrection of Christ. So which means that dominion, that power would be after Christ would die, suffering not for death, crowned with glory and honor, that by grace you take this for every man. So that means it is through the resurrection that a man becomes in authority. That authority. So we now have the authority because Christ has died, Christ has risen from the dead, and we are now in God's family by the virtue of faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So Hebrews 1 verse 14. Look at angels. Let's look at angels a little bit. All right, Hebrews 1 verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, I want to say this for, it just came to mind, I thought to just say this. In this teaching series, you know what we do here? Although we have teaching series, if you've observed from how, I teach, there can be a topic, right? Or let's just say something like salvation, or let's just say faith. Don't assume that what I'll be teaching you is faith, and everything has to do with faith. No. I'm just changing the topics. It doesn't mean that the same. I will still be teaching God's word. Hallelujah. It's just God's word I'm teaching. But I'm just putting different topics. So we don't make it look too topical. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Because what we are doing here, we are teaching God's word. We are learning the word, the counsel of God. Hallelujah. We are being blessed by God's word. Praise God. You know why I'm saying this? Because there's a temptation that would be in you to be like, oh, let him go straight to that topic. No. We are teaching God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Else I'll just jump and say, look at it though. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we're learning God's word. Amen. Praise God. So, but we're learning God's word as it concerns what? Prayers. Right? So, in Hebrews 1 verse 14, it says, are they not all ministers? Now, who is he talking about? Let's backtrack. Let's look at verse 6. Hebrews 1 verse 6. It says, and again, please follow, guys. I will really beseech you, indulge you. Hebrews 1 verse 6. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, referring to the Christ, he said, let all the angels do what? Let them do what? Worship him. Let them worship Jesus. All right? How do we know it's Jesus? Hebrews 1 and verse 3, or verse 2, or verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In verse 2 then tells us who he's speaking of. Has in this last day spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things. What it means by heir of all things means Jesus is the fulfillment of what the prophets were speaking. The heir of all things, by whom the all things is the prophecies. Amen. By whom he has also made what? The worlds. Verse 3, whom being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of majesty. So why did God ask the angels to worship him? Look at verse 4, because we're going to verse 6. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than this. So how was Jesus better than the angels? Was he better than the angels simply because he was a man? No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This teaching is very important too. Being made someone better than, how was Jesus made better than the angel? Was it because he was a man? No. So that means being a man does not immediately put you in authority over angels. Hallelujah. It was not because Jesus was a man. Remember, he was made lower than the angels. But he was now given a more excellent name, or being so much better than the angels,
He says, by inheritance. What is the inheritance? Verse 5. For unto which of the angels hath he said, thou art my son, this day have I what? Begotten thee. Now, we know that in Colossians, he called the first begotten from the dead. That's referring to the resurrection. So that means Christ became better than the angels in his resurrection. That authority of dominion that was given to man came via the resurrection of Christ. It says, thou my son, they have begotten, and again I will be to him a father, and shall be to me a son. Verse 6. And again he brings the first begotten into the world. He said, let the angels worship him. So why would the angels worship him? Because he has resurrected from the dead. It says, and of the angels, it says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers what? Flame of fire. So that means in Isaiah, look at Isaiah. We're going to come back to Hebrews. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, this was a vision that Isaiah saw. Some people read this and say, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You know, some things have to die for you to experience God's glory. Woo! Right on, Pastor. It's not just right on. Hallelujah. It's cycle up. Rubbish. Amen. Praise God. You guys don't get my jokes sometimes. I don't know why. Nobody laughs here. Like, what's the problem? You guys, so, is it the power of God? Is it the word of God? Is it? Amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's just a record that, oh, this is when I experienced this. Doesn't mean that something has to die. Say, let's kill your enemies. Kill those enemies so that you see the glory of God. Then the proof text, find other scriptures. Hallelujah. Something in your life has to die for you to see the glory of the Lord. It says, upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, look at verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, he covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. And one cried one to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. Many read this and say that when you go to heaven, you just see angels, you know, singing holy, holy, holy. Somebody said, when we go to heaven, we'll just be joining the angels singing holy, 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 holy is the Lord God. I love that song, by the way. God Almighty. You know, we're joining the angels singing holy. So we think that when we go in heaven, we'll just be singing hallelujah. We'll join with the angels and sing hallelujah. Come on, everybody, join the angels. You know, we got all of this. We just formulate. What is the scriptures called? These kind of things. I'll find it out for next week. You know, you just forge things based on what you assume the scriptures is about, or Christianity is about. Where are we asked to join the angels? You know, Ephesians 3 verse 10, the scriptures let us know that the angels are the ones that follow men. They copy men, they learn from men. Angels are actually students of men in Christ. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. We don't join them to do anything. We are not to follow them to do anything. Hallelujah. Praise God. If there's anything, they are the ones to join us. But let's look at it. Did Isaiah actually see God? All right, let's just read more. Let's read up more. All right, let's see verse. Now, this is a prophecy, by the way. And he laid it upon thy mouth, verse 7. And he said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity has been taken away, and thy sin what is purged. So, what did Isaiah see? The forgiveness of sins. Isaiah saw the Lord in the light of the forgiveness of sins. So, the angels were actually worshiping the Christ. The angels are worshiping the Christ. Not that they're worshiping the Christ because he was the man. No. He was worshiping the Christ because of the work. So they're worshiping the salvation of God. Remember, God is salvation. That's all God is. He is the Savior. We see God and we know God in the fact that he is a Savior. He is a life giver. Hallelujah. He is a giver. That is why the angels worship the Christ. Look at Revelations, another text to help us see this. Revelations 4 and verse 8. Revelations 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts. Are you there? Revelations 4 and verse 8. Alright, the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. Now, this is a vision of, you know, you can start from verse 1. Look at verse 1 quickly, just verse 1. I want us to see this together. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, verse 1, Revelation 4, verse 1. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must come hereafter. Immediately, and I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And verse 3 says, and he that sat on the throne was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne inside like unto an emerald. Verse 4. Right? And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats were I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had upon their heads crowns of gold. These are all visions, guys. Don't assume that this is what. Hallelujah. But when we go to Revelation, we'll talk about this. Verse 5. And out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and all of that and all of that. Then talks about the seven spirits of God. And verse 6. And before the throne, the grass of the crystal. Verse 7. And then a lion and all of those things. And then verse 8, we see. You see? And the four beasts had each of them six wings, and they were full of eyes, and they did not rest night and day, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So who is the Lord that they worshipped? Look at, let's read on. We're going to find out who they worshipped. Let's read on. Verse 9 to 11. Let's follow together, please. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on where? The throne, who liveth forever and ever. It says the 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever, and cast their crowns before him, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they were created. What is the creation of God? The new creation from Genesis. They are worshipping the salvation work of Christ. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand, that's where Christ, it says the right hand of him. Remember, we said the word right hand refers to the power of God, the authority of God, or the work of God. When you see right hand, don't read it like an Englishman or like a Yoruba man or Nigerian, African, whatever. Right hand, don't read like that. You know, in some tribes, right hand, like to an Englishman, right hand means the right side of your hand or the right part of your limbs. You get what I mean? So, and then some tribes, right hand means like a step down. Where you see, they call them Otumba, something like that. Otumba, that is in the African, Yoruba tribe of Africa, of Nigeria. They call them Otumba. What does Otumba mean? Otumba means like a second in command, right? But that is how they define right hand. However, to God, right hand means what God does. In scripture, it says God delivered the Israelites with the right hand of his righteousness. That means, it doesn't mean God uses his right hand and say, oh, come here, everyone. No. Hallelujah. It means that is what God did, God's power. So when he says, and I saw in the right hand of him, he's referring to what God did, the same person that was being worshipped. He says, him that did what? Sat on the throne, right? And a book written with on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and open the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept so much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Alright? Then look at verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed, what? To open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And verse 6, where we stop. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, had the four beasts in the midst of the elders. stood what? A lamb, as it had been what? Slain. And having seven horns and seven eyes, which were seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Hallelujah. So that was the Christ that they were worshipping. So when it says, let all the angels of God worship him, was referring to what? The Christ. Amen. Because he had prevailed in death. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Let the angels therefore worship Jesus. So back to Hebrews 1, where we are coming from. Back to Hebrews 1. All right. So that means Hebrews 1 verse 14. Oh, let's read on. Let's read from verse 8. All right. It says, but unto the Son, it says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. All right. Now, when it says thy throne, O God, is referring to who? Christ, right? Jesus Christ, the ones that the angels were worshipping. Hallelujah. The throne, O God. So the God where they're worshipping was Christ. So in verse 9, when it says thou hast loved righteousness, who is it thou that has loved righteousness? Christ. And hated iniquity. This, who is the person? It is also Christ. It says, therefore God, thy God, or the God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow men. So God, Jesus Christ, is different from every other man in that what? He is the Savior. Look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, that's Jesus, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands, referring to the Christ. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. Verse 12. And as a vesture, thou folded them up. Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool? I said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of what? Salvation. So it means that Jesus Christ became, or the authority that God gave to man over the angels came as a result of his work in salvation. Hallelujah. But you see, men could still operate in that authority. Why? Because in a promissory note, men had the authority. Just like Abraham was righteous already, even before Christ died. Genesis 22. He was already righteous. Genesis 22, 3. And Abraham believed God and he was counted on it for righteous. Abraham was already righteous before Christ died. Hallelujah. Really, Jesus Christ is called the right work of God, the righteousness of God. The right work of God. But Abraham was already justified before that. Alright, but that was a promissory note. So men who had faith in the God of creation, hallelujah, they could still operate in this. But it says, who shall be heirs of salvation? Heirs of salvation means men who would receive the gospel. Hallelujah. So which means even men heirs of salvation before, they had that experience, authority over the angels of God. Hallelujah. So that means God made angels for men. God made angels to serve men. God made angels to follow men. God made angels in subjection. I said the word subjection in verse 8, Hebrews 1 verse 8. Is it Hebrews 1 verse 8? Sorry, Hebrews 2 verse 8. When it says, Hebrews 2 verse 8, where it says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So that word subjection, I said the word hupotasso. Hypotasso means that God made them to obey us. They obey us. Now, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, I want to define a few terms here. In verse 7, it says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh the angels his spirit and the ministers flame, a flame of fire. The word ministers, now where it says the angels spirit and his ministers flame of fire, some people often say, oh, this one is referring to angels, and then this one is referring to men of God, ministers. It's like something is wrong with you. He's talking of the same angels there. Hallelujah. He's clearly talking about the angels. When he says and, it means that is his ministers. The angels there. The word ministers is the word that means servants. All right? So like a waiter. Is the word diaconia. Diaconia, like a deacon. Someone that serves. Diaconia is spelled D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. Diaconia. To wait, like a waiter. Someone that serves, all right, is ministers a flame of fire, all right. Now, look at verse 14, where it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Well, the word ministering is a long Greek word, and I'll see how I can pronounce it now. Leiturgikos. Now, spell that lei, L-E-I. Then tour is like a tour, like you go on a tour. So L-E-I-T-O-U-R, then gikos, G-I-K-O-S. It means someone that is addicted or employed to serve. Someone that is addicted or employed to serve. It is got it from another word, leiturgeo. Leitogeo is it's a root word, L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-E-O. Leitogeo is gotten from another word, leitogos. Leitogos is gotten from another word. All right, it's gotten from two words, anyways, leos and ergon. All right, I'll say that again, from the first Greek word, leitogikos. I spelled it already. Then leitogikos goes from another word, leitogeo. And leitogeo is another word that goes from another word, leitogos. It's just L-E-I-T-O-U-R. Sorry about that. The call came in. You know, leitogos is spelled leitogos. See, I'm not Greek, fam. L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-O-S. Alright? It means to serve at one's cost. That means they are giving to serve. It's like saying, all I live for is to serve. This is what I am. I'm a servant. So that's what they are for. They're like military laborers. Alright? Now, that word leitogos, like I said, is gotten from two words, leos. Leos is spelled L-A-O-S. It means a nation, refers to a nation or a tribe of the same stock or language. And then ergon, E-R-G-O-N, refers to business. All right, business. So we see that these angels are a tribe or a specific nation, let's put it that way, or creation of God that has only one business, to serve men. So angels are not people to worship. Hallelujah. Angels are not people to learn from. You say, an angel taught you this. No, an angel taught me that. As an angel appeared to me, he just began to explain the scriptures to me. No angel has the ability, not talk less of jurisdiction, has the ability to teach. The things we see in the book of Revelations were things that angels tried to communicate. That is why they said that Jesus Christ was a lamb. He had seven horns. Does Jesus have seven horns? So another place they said he had a sword in his mouth. That's why people that interpret the book of Revelation and say, oh, see, heaven has streets of gold, you're learning from angels. You're just mislearning. Angels don't have the ability to teach. It is men that are teachers of angels. So that's why their communication is usually harsh. Peter had a vision. You've seen this so many times. In Acts chapter 10, had a vision. Angels could not communicate that God wanted the gospel to go to Gentiles. They had to use four-footed beasts, animals, and say, kill and eat. And Peter said, oh, this is unclean. but he was not really getting it. It was after the vision that Peter said, oh, this is actually like this. All right, that's God helped him to understand that vision. All right, so just be careful when you're looking at those kind of texts. Hallelujah. So I said, is what they are addicted to serve, they are meant to serve, that's their business, and therefore men. God does not need angels. God does not need angels to be finding and say, holy, holy, holy. They are worshiping the Christ. Why are they worshiping the Christ? Because he's a man, the man of God's dominion, from Genesis 1:26. They are worshiping a man. They serve the man Jesus Christ. So that is why you know they worshiped God. They worshiped God in the Christ. So Isaiah saw the Christ. Isaiah saw the message of Christ. 1 Peter 1:10 says, of which salvation. 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently for the grace that should come to you, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister those things which what the angels desire to look into. So that means, as angels were worshiping the Christ, they did not understand what they were doing, but they were worshiping the God that they were seeing doing mighty things. They could not explain it. Isaiah saw it as well. He couldn't really understand it. He was an inquirer, of which salvation the prophets inquired. 1 Peter 1:10. They inquired. They were looking for. They didn't understand it. But that man, Jesus Christ, first explains that to us. And then the apostles teach us. That means angels actually learn from men. Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians 3:10. So quit with all those joining the angels to do anything. No. They're not doing anything. They're not doing nothing. What they are doing right now is that they're serving man. Hallelujah. They're not singing somewhere, holy, holy, holy. Praise God. They are here for men. They are here for you. Right now, they are here. As I'm speaking to you, they are right here. As where you are, they are right where you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Angels are there to serve you. Where did I say we're going to just now? Hallelujah. I don't know. Okay, Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians 3:10. Because that one is not my notes. Ephesians 3:10. You know, the thing about... Let me just read this. Ephesians 3:10. Alright? Let's read verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So that creation is by what? Jesus Christ, the new creation. Alright, verse 10 says, to the intent. Why did he do this? So that, to the intent, listen, to the intent that now, to the principalities and powers, that refers to angels in the heavens, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why are angels worshipping God? Worshipping Christ? Because of what God did in him. Salvation, the new creation. And he says it is through this, the church, that the angels will then know the wisdom of God. So stop glorifying angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You saw an angel now, you're going on YouTube. Your testimony, giving a testimony, how you had the experiences with angels and demons. Some of them have become fetish, diabolical, religious teachers or whatever, or fanatics, and they call themselves new converts. Say, we are here to tell you about the demonic. I was in the demonic before. They begin to tell you about demons. You tell them how Satan... Let me give you the secret of Satan. They begin to teach about servants that don't have intelligence. What I mean is they don't have understanding. It's just like... Alright, okay, hold on. I know why there was a poor connection. Someone said there's a poor connection. Let me know when it's all right. Let me know when it's good now. Let me know when it's good.
Hallelujah.
Man, that's good, Ebede. Thank you, Father. Let me know when it's all right. Is it still bad?
All right, good, good, good. So like I said, we don't learn from angels. Angels are sent to minister. So I said, God does not need angels. God does not need angels. Angels were made for man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God already has been sufficient in himself. He didn't create people that will come and worship him. No, he created them to serve man. Hallelujah. He created all things for man. He says the earth has he given to men. And angels here on earth. He says he has given them dominion over all the works of his hands. So I say, you don't just go and start telling people, okay, like you want to cast out a devil, for instance. Like I said, angels are not teachers. Angels alone are not teachers. Then you talk about a fallen angel. That's a demon. A demon is not someone you learn things from. We're going to close here anyways, just because we're having some issues. All right? So a demon, you want to cast out a devil, and then you're asking them, who gave you the power? You begin to talk rubbish. Jesus never asked people questions. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into more of this in our next teaching, guys. I'll see you again in our next teaching, because we have to stop now. Glory to the name of Jesus. We continue next week, so I don't want anybody to miss out any detail. I'll see you again next Friday. Jesus is glorified. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend. God bless you. Love you all. Bye-bye.